Blog Talk Radio.
Give it up for Naughty by Nature. Hip hop hooray! Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
You drew a picture on my morning, but you couldn't make my day.
Welcome everyone back to Midnight Madness. The DeAndre Jordan sweepstakes have taken social media by storm as the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers battle it out, both hoping to land the versatile big man. Jordan Spieth's open chances have gone up according to Roy McIlroy's announcement, as we have a special guest on tonight's show, Brandon Porath, breaking it all down for us here tonight on Midnight Madness. And my co-host, John Fanta, has a satisfying Whatever Wednesday story to conclude our show. So let's get down to business. I am your host, Corey Panarello, and alongside me in South Orange is John Fanta. And we tip off the show, John, both with the same story and saga, the saga being that of DeAndre Jordan. After Jordan had agreed to a four-year, $80 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks, the Clippers didn't lay off the gas, and they kept in pursuit of their precious defensive anchor. The Clippers had met with DeAndre at DeAndre Jordan's house tonight in order to sway his future team selection. And they must have seemed to got to the big man, as it was reported very shortly after Chris Paul, Doc Rivers, and company proceeded to play cards in a couple games of 2K, it seems like it, John. And DeAndre may be staying home after all, as Chris Paul was also reported telling DeAndre that he will get him more involved in the offense. Well, before you get him more involved, Chris Paul, you may want to help his free throw shooting first. John, aside from all the drama, many believe that the Clippers went through too much trouble in trying to re-sign DeAndre Jordan. I certainly disagree. As the Clippers last season with Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan on the floor were ranked first in offensive efficiency in 118.0, net efficiency in a plus 16.4, and a field goal percentage of 50.5, all fantastic categories to be number one in on the hardwood. John, we turn to you now. I know you enjoyed the emoji war today, but in your opinion, was DeAndre worth all the blood, sweat, and tears between Mark Cuban and the Clippers organization?
The only player that's worth this much is LeBron James. I mean, they were at his house tonight playing cards, and now they're probably playing Clippers and Mavs on the Xbox. This is insane. This is purely insane, and I love it. NBA free agency could never be better because DeAndre Jordan, he's not a championship player. He's not. He's a very good player. 5 years, 110 mil. Look, I get it. The Clippers with him, you know what? He's another piece to their puzzle. They believe that they can be a Western Conference Finals team. They do need DeAndre Jordan, and the Mavericks need him even more. But this is awesome. I mean, Mark Cuban right now, looking around Houston, thinking to myself, a billionaire, folks, is driving around Houston, desperately pleading to get to the Jordan household. He's trying whatever he can. He's pulling out the Shark Tank invention. He's getting in a Domino's uniform saying, oh, did anyone order a pizza? I mean, this is great. This is just incredible. A billionaire is really just getting trolled. This is insane. And let's get to the phone line. 661-302-3856. You're on the show first here. Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the show. What's going on?
Good.
do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about DeAndre Jordan.
Well, what do you think? Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Carter from Bakersfield.
Carter, well, good to be talking to you. Are you a Mavericks fan?
Nope.
Well, what do you think of this DeAndre Jordan situation? Do you like him moving to the Clippers? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm a Clippers fan myself, and I think it's a good thing. And Mark Cuban needs to suck it up because he's ours now.
Well, I do. I agree with you that I think at the end of the day the Clippers is the right move. I think obviously they're a better team than the Mavericks. But do you think this ruins who DeAndre Jordan is now, Carter? Do you think that this hurts him at all by kind of flip-flopping here?
Not really. You know, I think he's where he wants to be. I mean, he thought about it two times, you know, and I think he's now where he wants to be playing.
Carter, I thank you very much for the call. Whatever Wednesday just got started with one of the most unique phone calls I've ever received. It sounded like we got a call from a 9-year-old at 12:06 at night, Pons. But nonetheless, Carter starting us out with a bang. Do you agree with him that – I agree with him that at the end of the day, it's your decision to make – he's making more money. The Clippers have the better roster. I don't think he's worth $110 million. I disagree with you on that. We were talking before the show. Why do you think he is worth it, Corey? What makes him worth it?
John, on one end, when it comes down defensively, I think they need him for the Clippers to be successful. DeAndre Jordan needs to be on that roster. Defensively, he held it down in the paint for the Clippers last year. And, you know, offensively, when it came to the hack of Jordan in the playoffs, we saw that he's not the greatest free-throw shooter offensively. But also when it comes down to having centers and power forwards, it comes being able to run the floor and being conditioned. He's a fantastic athlete. He's so phenomenal. He's a tenacious rebounder. He's one of the best rebounders in the NBA. There was stretches throughout the season, John, where he had 20-20 nights, night in and night out. Those are numbers that, you know, I would pay $110 million for. He's one of the best centers in the league, in my opinion, and he was the sole reason the Clippers made the playoffs. I know there were reasons or rumors and this and that, how Chris Paul and him didn't get along in the locker room and how Chris Paul had the winning mentality and DeAndre Jordan, there was disagreements here and there. That needs to be figured out soon, but I think he is worth the money, and he is one of the best centers in the league.
It was worth the Los Angeles Clippers flying, driving, planes, trains, and automobiles. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN just tweets, "The Clipper players and coaches who are there stayed until it was done after midnight. Everybody hung out all night. The Mavs never got the meeting." It's amazing. A man as powerful as Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is DeAndre Jordan apparently is going on a cruise tomorrow, Corey. Mark Cuban's finding his way on that boat. Let's continue the phone calls. 832-586-6836. You're on the show. Who's this?
How's it going, guys? This is Jason from Houston.
Jason from Houston, are you a Mavericks fan?
Definitely not.
Jason, what do you make of all this
news? Oh my God! Like after DeAndre Jordan gave the Mavs or the Mavericks verbal agreement, there's so many Mavs fans that said that they're going to make the playoffs, probably mid seed, and actually do better than the Clippers would. But who do they have? They have no offense anymore since they lost Monte. And DeAndre Jordan just boosted their defense. So they might as well just tank.
Jason, have you seen Mark Cuban driving around Houston tonight?
I read a tweet, actually. But no, I wish I did. I'll try to, I don't know, just catch him or hope he sees me laughing in his face.
Or did you see the emojis this afternoon, too? I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
I did. Yeah, the emoji war.
With DeAndre Jordan, this is our great debate right now. With DeAndre Jordan, are the Clippers a serious contender in the West? Are they the third best team in the West with the Spurs and the Warriors?
I think they got it again. They're going to be top four again.
Can't forget Paul Pierce.
Actually, what seed did they make this year? I think they made, what, sixth seed?
Well,
they made third seed, right? Third seed.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they acquired Paul Pierce, which will actually bring some veteran leadership. And then they got Lance Stephenson. I mean, they're going to have Glenn Davis at their backup big. I don't know.
Yeah.
Big baby Davis.
Offense, as long as they don't lose Jamal Crawford.
Well, I thank you very much for the call. Jason in Houston, Ponce, we're getting calls all over the country. Let's go to Josh Adams, our good friend. Josh Adams is in Brooklyn. Josh, have you been on the emoji war tonight?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. How you guys doing?
Very good.
There.
Always good here. Good to be talking to you, my friend. This has been insane, though. I've never seen anything like this. Corey and I were just talking about, I mean, 5 years after the decision by LeBron James, we get this insanity. There's nothing better than NBA free agency.
You know, the thought of Cuban driving around Houston like a jilted ex-girlfriend, you know, reaching out, desperately trying to find DeAndre Jordan, you know, maybe holding a boombox outside of his window playing In Your Eyes or something like that, you know. It's just a sad thought, you know. It's amazing. It's just crazy. Yeah, you're right. There's nothing like NBA free agency. What can you say? It's I don't know. It's a you get these agents and money involved, and you know, with a verbal agreement, there's an old saying, John and Corey, a verbal agreement is only as good as the paper it's printed on. You know, and that's the way it be. Until you sign on the line that is dotted, you are a free agent, as far as I'm concerned.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Josh Adams. Ponce, care to weigh in on that? You know what? I look at this, though. It's a good move for the Clippers. Ponce, you've brought it up before.
Yeah, and look what happened. Obviously, the Clippers, I mean, we all do forget, they defeated the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs, who I thought were the best team in the West. If the Spurs got out of that series with the Clippers, the Spurs were going to the NBA Finals. Now, let's say you take DeAndre Jordan off that roster. Tim Duncan has his, I would like to say, a field day. I think Tiago Splitter out-muscles every other player on that team, because Blake Griffin is not as tenacious of a rebounder as DeAndre Jordan. He had, at one point, was averaging 20 rebounds a game. He will caress your rebounds. He will get the outlet passes going. He is a fantastic center. I can't say it enough, John.
Well, Josh Adams, anything else before we get to our golf guest tonight?
I just wanted to call Corey insane for saying E.J. Manuel is a good quarterback. But besides that, that's about it.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, Josh, we'll have to have another conversation about that. Josh Adams, thanks so much, partner.
Better believe it. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Take care, Josh.
Great friend of the show. Corey, always love to talk to Josh. I disagree with you on Manuel, but we always love Josh. And we turn right now. We thank him for waiting on hold. It's our Be Our Guest segment tonight. He's a writer for SBNation.com. He's calling us from Washington, D.C., from our nation's capital, where Mark Cuban is not seen driving around. It's Brendan Porath, and he's talking golf with us. Brendan, thanks for joining us deep into the night here to talk a little bit of golf. And I'll start right away with this. How rough is this for the sport, a sport that really needs all the attention it can get, to have one of its faces in Rory McIlroy be out for the Open Championship?
Hey, John, good to be with you. It's a big blow. You know, this summer was kind of cresting with the perfect transition out of the Tiger and Phil era, with Rory dominating the end of last summer. It was really this time last year where he turned it on. You know, he had been number one in the world before, and we kind of knew he was the most talented of the 20-year-olds, you know, of the next generation. But this last summer was really kind of the, you know, certification of all that, and kind of him ascending to match the hype. And, you know, that dominant kind of summer of Rory blended into the spring of Jordan Spieth and this kind of unlikely back-to-back major winner. You know, he was the top American, young American talent. We thought he'd win majors, but to kind of get two at 21 years old was completely unexpected. So it was kind of all set up at St. Andrews for the Open, where Rory has played well before and was going to be the favorite, and Spieth was kind of chasing this Grand Slam that's almost impossible to achieve and probably will never see it done, but he's got as good a shot as anyone has in 15 years. So, you know, it's a big blow. It puts a big stunt in the momentum that we've worked through all summer with the sport really kind of cresting with so many of these young 20-year-olds playing better.
Brendan Porath is our guest. Writes about golf for SBNation.com. He's joining us tonight from Washington, D.C. Brent, how much does this hurt the man who is the character who is Rory McIlroy?
I don't think it hurts him too much. There are those critics that are kind of being ridiculous that say he shouldn't be, in my estimation, that it's kind of ridiculous to say he should not be out playing soccer with friends. He's got to live his life. He's got to run around. He's got to do, you know, as long as it's responsible, which I think playing soccer is responsible enough, you know, that he's not doing anything illicit. So, you know, it's a blow, though. He was the favorite. He's playing good golf. It's not like he's been playing poorly. He's won two events this year. He had the best round of the weekend on Sunday at the U.S. Open. So he's playing really good golf. He's legit number one in the world, even though Spieth has won back-to-back majors. Rory's best is still better than anyone else's. And, you know, I think there are those critics, though. People are being, you know, legitimately critical of him, saying, you know, a week before the Open Championship, or 2 weeks it would have been, you should not be running around. You should be, I don't know, I guess just going to dinner. The problem is this could happen anywhere. It could happen stepping off the curb. It could happen, you know, we know he's just a rigorous workout kind of warrior. He's always in the gym jumping around and doing different things. It could have happened there. So I think it's difficult to kind of pinpoint and blame him for playing another sport. Now, it wasn't the best timing. Should he wait until mid-August when there are lesser tournaments or the fall? I guess, but it just doesn't sound like this was that intense of a thing. It was just hanging out with friends. So it doesn't do much to the character of Rory, in my estimation.
Brendan Porath is our guest from SBNation.com. Tiger Woods finishing 32nd in the Greenbrier Classic. And Brendan, Tiger has had certainly a bumpy 2015. What went right, though, this past weekend that needs to continue for him to keep rising?
Well, first and foremost, what went right is he played one of the easiest courses on the PGA Tour. You know, not to diminish anything he did, you know, but if we're talking about Tiger Woods here, I guess everything's relative in 2015, and he takes his accomplishments where he can get them. You know, if we talked about it, I think it was he finished tied for 32nd. We talk about that at some no-name event at the Greenbrier in early July. If we were saying that 5-6 years ago, you know, that would count as a total failure or just a waste of a week. But, you know, he played it was a really easy course, and it was really soft, and those balls that he usually sends flying out of the fairway were sticking because the grass was soft, and it was receptive to that. But, you know, he did some things that will travel to any kind of venue, and he did generally stripe the ball well from tee to green. And that's been his biggest problem. He's just a mess, total mess off the tee. He's yanking it down the left. He's blocking it out to the right. He has no idea where it's going to go. But I think, you know, we saw he's working through this swing change with a new swing consultant. He won't call him his coach or teacher. But he's working through this swing. No, he's working through a swing change with this consultant. And you know, he maintains that you got to take a step back to go forward. And there are going to be those painful times. And there were those painful times at past swing changes. It wasn't just the embarrassment that we've watched for the last 2 months. So I guess this week is an improvement on that. He put it in the fairway for most of the time, and he got it. He was closest to the hole, proximity to the hole of anyone in the field. If he'll you know, St. Andrews isn't one of those. St. Andrews, you can score on this Open Championship venue, and he's won it there before. So I think that gives him enough confidence to at least know he can compete. Now he's a long shot to win, and he's kind of still on the edge. We saw it even this last week where he knocked one out of bounds. So that big number is always lurking with Tiger right now. He's still kind of working through that swing. But, you know, it's an improvement from tee to green and something he can take going into St. Andrews, which won't be – you know, won't be the tough test that Chambers Bay was at the U.S. Open.
Brendan Porath is our guest from SBNation.com. Brendan, I definitely want to talk to you again next week when this tournament's going on. But super early.
Absolutely.
Do you think Jordan Spieth has it in him here? I think he certainly has it in him. But do you see it happening?
Yeah, well, what you said, he certainly has it in him. I don't see it happening. I hate to say that. I love the kid. I want him to win. I'm supposed to be impartial, but it's hard to say.
Hard to not like him.
But I just think the odds are against it. You know, naturally, the odds are against it. You know, people would say you take Tiger of the field back even during his heyday. You take the field. The odds are in the field's favor. I think he'll play well. I think it's hard to see him not playing well. I'm not crazy about him playing this week in Iowa and then flying over to Britain, you know, getting in Monday morning there and just never having played St. Andrews. He played St. Andrews on a simulator at his house. So I'm not crazy about him playing the John Deere this week in Iowa and not getting over there. A lot of guys are playing the Scottish Open this week, getting that time change in order and you know, getting practice in, but I think it's more of like a Dustin Johnson rebound week or Ricky Fowler. Some of those guys, those top talents, will make a run at it, and the odds are just against Spieth winning three in a row.
Well, we'll talk more next week with you, Brendan Porath from SBNation.com. Thanks so much for your time, B.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, John.
Brendan Porath joining us. Corey Ponarello breaking down Jordan Spieth. We are watching an emerging athlete. There's no doubt about that. Guy that could be up for Male Athlete of the Year for a long time to come. Great for the game of golf. Corey, we got about 8 minutes left to go in the show. Now, this has been a fun week. We've had some really good callers tonight. All around good stuff, partner. It is also Whatever Wednesday, though. It is also Whatever Wednesday. And I think that brings me to the Whatever Wednesday story of the week. And I need you to react with me here, partner. Just think about and put this in perspective. This happened earlier this week. An Augusta woman was arrested after she attacked her boyfriend for refusing to have sex with her. 35-year-old Tabitha Lee Crooms came home around 11:30 p.m. on June 24th, this exit, double week, and attacked her boyfriend while he was sitting on the couch, according to a Richmond County Sheriff's Office incident report. She said she was angry that he refused her advances earlier that day. So she scratched him on the face, head, and neck, and then she bit him on the arm. She went all Mike Tyson on him. Her boyfriend then proceeded to go into the bathroom and called 911. Deputies responded to the house on Haney Drive in Augusta. This is Augusta, Georgia, folks. They've got good Bojangles over there, but I would not have wanted to be on Haney Drive a couple weeks ago. Grooms, when the police arrived to her house, Grooms would not give her name at first and threatened to run over a deputy with a baby stroller.
Huh.
She admitted she had been drinking. Of course she hasn't. And then, just to top it off, because every Sunday needs a cherry on top, Grooms decided to punch her 66-year-old mother in the eye during the ordeal, according to the incident report. What a great day for Tabitha Lee Grooms, who wanted to, get a little Marvin Gaye with her boyfriend and then ended up, well, going all crazy on not only her boyfriend, the deputy, and her own mother. That's Whatever Wednesday. My gosh. Unbelievable. I would never punch my mother in the eye, sober or not sober. Not that I've not been sober before, but, Corey, what to make of this, partner? I Tabitha Lee Grooms.
Hey, you know what? There's just some people in this world, John, that will do anything for a little you-know-what. But you know, things like this make me smile and say, you know what, it brings me joy, it brings laughter to my face. I've had a rough patch past couple weeks, so a story like this always puts a smile on my face. But you know what, a little Mike Tyson here and there never hurts a boyfriend. Good for her.
Well, yeah, you've never been bit by a girl.
I hope not. I hope maybe
that's
when I was
actually,
little, when I was getting, I was pulling my sister's ponytail.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I do think that you have been bit by a girl once or twice. I can remember, and you know what? It's a good thing that woman is no longer in your life. I was bit by a girl because she was kind of hungry. That's my ex-girlfriend. No names, please, to our listeners. You know, I've got some fat on me, and she decided to have a little snack. Come to find that she, you know, was just a little too hormonal. All of our guy listeners know what that means. This is a little bit of a deep conversation for Carter down in Dallas. So, Carter, if you're still up, I'd head to bed.
Bakersfield.
That was a good call. What's that?
I said Bakersfield. Shout out.
Oh, Bakersfield. That's right. I had a senior moment there. I get my cities messed up sometimes. But, yeah, girls will do anything. I'll tell you what, they will do anything. You know, there was one time I was at – I was going out to a movie. It was the movie Marley and Me. You all remember that movie, Owen Wilson and the dog starred in it. Jennifer Aniston was in it. I think she's pretty good looking too, by the way. Even at her older age. But that's for another show.
All credit to her.
Yeah, there we go. Owen Wilson, Jennifer Aniston going at it. And the dog. And I went to get a popcorn. And I'm the kind of person, you know me, Puss. I'll get the big size popcorn. And I'll try to share it and whatnot. I'm big on that. Whenever I order at a restaurant, folks, if you know me, I'm always like, oh, you can have some of this and have some of that. I love to, you know. Everything. What's mine is yours. Family style. Let's go. Well, I went family style with my girlfriend. She wants the movie. We then go to Chipotle. She gets the double steak. You know it. We then went to Starbucks over at Borders. She bought a book. She had a little iced coffee. I thought, hey, I'm swinging for the fences tonight. And the following week, she said, Johnny boy, I don't want you anymore. Well, now she's at TCU, and she dropped the poundage that she gained off the double steak burrito. But we're never going to get back together because we're in Pirate Land now. We're at Seton Hall, and she's at TCU. She's a Horned Frog.
Hashtag Blue Rising.
Hashtag Blue Rising. She's a Horned Frog in more ways than one. A couple minutes left on the show. Midnight Madness. What song is playing in Mark Cuban's car right now, Corey? What's your most? If you have a love song, you're there. You're the music man, DJ Trey Paul.
Well, as of lately on social media, I did just see that Paul Pierce put a picture up on Twitter saying, "This is why they brought me here." LOL, and it is DeAndre Jordan with the pen in his hand. Signing a contract, so it does look like DeAndre is back in Los Angeles. So, being that he is now a Clipper, the song that is now playing in Mark Cuban's song, John, is one of our favorites, and we turn to Bruce Hornsby, and that's just the way it is. And that's the way things roll. And the Mavs will have to find another centerpiece. Dirk will not be that tenacious rebounder, but that's just the way it is. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. Sorry, Mark Cuban.
Oh, I feel bad for Marky, I do. But he's got tons more episodes of Shark Tank. And you know what we need, though? How about the crazy Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer? I mean, he's got to be going nuts right now back in L.A. I love his passion, I do. I love all of our callers' passion. See, Ponce, take us out. You know what? This show's been so fun. Let's come back tomorrow at midnight and do another one. Ponce, take it away. Take us out, brother.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in.
as of yesterday. Just want to say thank you for all the support, and we have reached 100 total listeners. That makes us proud. It makes me love what I do, and I know it makes John love what he does as well. Midnight Madness will be on tomorrow. What crazy news in the sports world will we be talking about? We don't know. That's why it is madness. And it will be taken and talked about on Midnight Madness. You can follow John Fanta at John_Fanta on Twitter. You can follow my personal account, C_Ponce, or follow my sports and more professional account at Corey_Ponerolo. John, partner, always pleasure doing business with you. Good morning, and see you all in 23 hours. The madness is over.